Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody cares, everybody understands. Yes, everybody cares about you. Yeah, and whether or not you want them to, it's a chemical embrace that kicks you in the head. To a pure synthetic sympathy that infuriates you totally. And a quiet lie that makes you want to scream and shout. So here I lay dreaming, looking at the brilliant sun. Raining its guiding light upon everyone. For a moment's rest, you can lean against the banister. After running upstairs again and again, from wherever they came to fix you in, but always finishes the finest fall right behind. You got a pretty vision in your head, a pencil full of poison lead, and a sickened smile with legal in every town. So here I lay dreaming, looking at the brilliant sun. Raining its guiding light upon everyone. Here I lay dreaming, looking at the brilliant sun. Rain is guiding light on everyone. You say you mean well, you don't know what you mean. Fucking on a stay the hell away. Nothing about
Moses with a excerpt from Wikipedia about the death of Elliott Smith.
Tonight, 12 years later, investigating the still mysterious death of Stephen Elliott Smith. Reemergence and from a basement on the hill. Smith had attempted to go to rehab several times, but found that he was unable to relate to the popular treatments for addicts that were used, a 12-step program basis for that treatment. I couldn't do the first step. I couldn't say what you were supposed to say and mean it. In 2002, Smith went to the Neurotransmitter Restoration Center in Beverly Hills to start a course of treatment for his drug addiction. In one of his final interviews, he spoke about the center. What they do is an IV treatment where they put a needle in your arm and you're on a drip bag, but the only thing that's in the drip bag is amino acids and saline solution. I was coming off a lot of psych meds and other things. I was even on an antipsychotic, although I'm not psychotic. Two sold-out solo acoustic concerts at Hollywood's Henry Fonda Theater on January 31st and February 1st, 2003, saw Smith attempting to reestablish his credibility as a live performer. Before the show, Smith scrawled Kali, the Destroyer, the Hindu goddess associated with time and change, in large block letters with permanent ink on his left arm, which was visible to the crowd during the performance. On several songs, he was backed by a stripped-down drum kit played by Robin Perringer of the band 764 Hero, and on one track, members of opening band Rilo Kiley contributed backing vocals. Smith then played two more live shows in his adopted hometown, 3 months later at the Derby and once at the LA Weekly Music Awards in June. After his 34th birthday on August 6, 2003, he gave up alcohol, caffeine, red meat, refined sugar, and his longtime, sometimes abused, regimen of psychiatric medication. Director Mike Mills had been working with Smith during his final years and described his troubles and apparent recovery. I gave the script to him, then he dropped off the face of the earth. He went through his whole crazy time, but by the time I was done with the film, he was making from a basement on the hill, and I was shocked that he was actually making music. Death. Smith died on October 21st, 2003, at the age of 34 years, from two stab wounds to the chest. At the time of the stabbing, he was at his Lemoyne Street home in Echo Park, California, where he lived with his partner, Jennifer Chiba. According to Chiba, the two were arguing, and she locked herself in the bathroom to take a shower. Chiba heard him scream, and upon opening the door, saw Smith standing with a knife in his chest. She pulled the knife out, after which he collapsed, and she called 911. Smith died in the hospital with the time of death listed at 1:36 p.m. A possible suicide note written on a Post-it note read, "I'm so sorry. Love, Elliot. God forgive me." The name Elliot is misspelled with just one T in the coroner's report. However, a coroner informed the Smoking Gun website that Smith's first name was misspelled in the report, not on the Post-it note. While Smith's death was originally reported as a suicide, the official autopsy report released in December 2003 left open the question of homicide. According to Pitchfork Media, record producer Larry Crane reported on his tape op message board that he had planned to help Smith mix his album in mid-November. Crane wrote, "I hadn't talked to Elliot in over a year. His girlfriend Jennifer called me last week and asked if I'd like to come to L.A. to help mix and finish Smith's album. I said yes, of course, and chatted with Elliot for the first time in ages. It seemed surreal that he would call me to finish an album and then a week later kill himself. I talked to Jennifer this morning, who was obviously shattered and in tears, and she said, I don't understand. He was so healthy." The coroner reported no traces of illegal substances or alcohol that were found in Smith's system at the time of his death, but did find prescribed levels of antidepressant, anxiolytic, and ADHD medications, including clonazepam, mirtazapine, atomoxetine, and amphetamine. No hesitation wounds were found, a trait typical of suicide by self-infliction. With Smith's death not officially declared a suicide, journalist Allison Camus noted discrepancies in the case that suggest foul play. However, the authorities do not seem to be investigating the case further. Smith's body was cremated, and a public burial site or memorial was never formally announced.
And that was Jim Moses. Thank you, Jim, for your commentary. I appreciate that. And tonight, as Jim just said, we are investigating the strange death of Elliot Smith. Now, because he died in 2003, of course, it's been a while. And much like the Cobain case, which we also had Linda Crystal, the investigator, the forensic astrologist that's joining us tonight, she investigated that as well. And so, I mean, there's this gray area, I think, that we're missing some things in. And I know as a fan, I'm a huge fan of Elliot. I was a huge fan of Kurt Cobain. And I know I want to believe that he didn't kill himself, that something happened. But I think there are quite a few points, as Alison Camus. And I also want to say thank you to Alison for letting me post this show on her Facebook page, Justice for Elliot Smith. So thank you, Alison. Okay, so I just want to, I want you guys to say hello to Linda Crystal. And Linda hails from Buffalo, New York. She's a phenomenal investigator, researcher. She has solved many missing people cases, murder cases, and she like just continues to truck on and get justice for different people. And she does it in, oh my God, she uses all kinds of ways and formulas to come up with the stuff that she comes up with. So with that, I welcome you, Linda, and thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you, Corrine. It's a pleasure, and it's, you know, it's going to be a wild ride. Buckle your seatbelts, because I have a lot of information.
Oh, good, good. I have been so excited about this, and of course, this show got delayed a couple of times, but I'm glad we finally got it together here. So tell us, Linda, what have you, you know, what do you think? We just heard the whole story about how he died. Strange, you know, the girlfriend said he had shoved the knife in the kitchen table, the partition, the separation in the kitchen table, and leaned forward into the knife, thus killing himself in the heart, stabbing himself in the heart. So,
well, that's questionable to begin with, because first of all, stabbing yourself is not the optimum way to kill yourself. In fact, it's the least used when anybody's going to kill themselves. That's not the way to go. What I like to do here is go over Elliot Smith's birth, Jennifer's birth chart, and give you a feeling for both of these people, so you know what was going on in this relationship between them, because I am going to show you that their relationship was extremely volatile. Okay? Mm-hmm. There was a very, very strong power struggle going on. And I would tell you that when I start telling you a little bit about each one of them, you're going to be able to see what I'm talking about. Elliot Smith was born August 6, 1969. He was a Leo. So he's a fire sign. He's physical. He likes to make people happy. When I did his chart, I was overwhelmed with the amount of, there's a breakup in his family. He grafted onto his mother. There's a problem with his father. It seems like there's an early separation. Now, mind you, I really don't know Elliot Smith that well. I rely on my charts. I rely on my information. So he's very physical. We know that he's got talent. He likes the limelight. He's going to go ahead and he's going to perform all these acts, make all this money. And when I take a look at some of the things that he has in his chart, the first thing that I see is that he has Venus in Gemini. That means that he's going to like females. He's going to like a lot of different females. He's going to have two females at one time. And Jennifer was a Gemini. So Venus in Gemini indicates he's going to be attracted to a Gemini. So when I take a look around, okay, he's got Pluto and Virgo, 1, 2, 3, 4, in the fifth house. He's going to have some health problems. He's going to have really strong health issues going on throughout his life. And some of this, I think, is sadness over his family, the breakup. There was a lot of dissension. I don't think he had communication with his father. This made him very sad. There was a lot of things in his background that created, I can see here that he had problems with his stomach. I can tell you that. But he was very musical. He's got Neptune and Scorpio in the seventh house. He really didn't like traveling. I don't believe he really liked being on the road. I think that was upsetting for him. The other thing I'm going to tell you is that he's an earth rooster. Now, roosters are, okay, when you think of a rooster, they gather all the hens, okay?
Right.
So right away you're going to see that he's a Leo, he's physical, he's attractive, he's got talent, he's going to draw women to him, and he's not even going to have to try. Now, to women, that's going to be intimidating. So women are not going to like that, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have a picture that right now he's a Leo, he's the center of attention, he's famous, he's going on tour. It says here he's got two planets in Libra, Jupiter in Libra, which means he's going to be media famous. He's going to be known worldwide, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit about him. And now I want to tell you a little bit about Jennifer, because she's a Gemini. She's a sheep, all right?
Okay.
A sheep is an animal in the Oriental Zodiac where they like to be comfortable. They like plush things. They like comfortable things. They want to have the best of everything. Because she's a Gemini, she's mental. She's coming from a different plane. He's physical. She's mental. Now, in the Zodiac, Geminis are very intelligent, and they're always thinking. Okay? Elliot is more on a physical level. Let's say he gets upset. He throws something. He does something. He's physical about the way that he reacts in his life. As I take a look at her chart, I can tell you that there was dissension in her home life, okay? She had Mars in Libra. Pardon my coughing from here and there.
That's okay.
Mars in Libra indicates that she's going to be argumentative. She's going to fight for what she wants. She's going to go into a conversation, and she's going to be right, and she's going to push her way across, and she's going to tell people. Now, what I will tell you here is this girl can think very quick, very fast, on her feet and running.
Mm.
Okay? So this girl is definitely very high-minded. Now, the two of them in the Zodiac are very signs. He is a fixed sign. She's very intelligent. When you put those two together in the room, you have one trying to outthink the other one. Okay, now, he was already famous. He's famous. I do pick up an element of jealousy in this relationship. She wanted to call the shots. She wanted to be the leader. She wanted to tell him what to do. She wanted to coordinate everything. And I don't know if I'm picking up that she wanted to be his manager. If she was his manager, I don't know, because I don't know the story that well. I'm only telling you what I'm picking up from the charts and what I'm seeing from the two of them. But she was a little bit, she was controlling, let's say that.
Yeah.
But she definitely wanted to take over the lead of the relationship. Now, in his chart, where he was age-wise, he is not in a death zone. He's not anywhere near a death zone.
Right. That's interesting. Okay.
To me, that's a clue. He's not ready to die. He's not going through any life-threatening type of situation. He's not in any danger. There's no planets there that are saying this is a volatile situation. He is totally clear. What is in that area is that he might have been going out with another girl.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I told you a rooster is going to collect the hens. Now, what happens over here with Jennifer is if she wants to be the leader and she wants to call the shots and she thinks she's all that in a bag of chips, she's not going to tolerate that. I would tell you that she watched his every move, knew everything he was doing, kept an eye on his phone, kept an eye on his dates, kept an eye on his time. I think maybe she might have found out about it.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Mars in Libra indicates jealousy as well. So when I take a look at this, it indicates to me she was jealous. He probably was seeing somebody else. I don't think there was a commitment to marry her. And her chart, it indicates that her Jupiter is in Leo. All right, so what does that mean? That means that a Leo person is going to pave her way for wealth and glory.
Mm.
That's what's in her chart. Now, she's a Gemini. It's possible she had her chart done. It's possible she knew that. So she might have thought, hey, I've got the golden goose right here. I'm not going to let him go. He's not going to slip through my fingers. Okay?
Right.
So when I take a look at the two together, it indicates to me that there was definitely a very strong power struggle. It indicates jealousy. It indicates a real problem. I don't like the way that he committed suicide, if that's what they're saying. I don't like the fact that he was cremated. You have no way to exhume the body. I understand there was two stab wounds. This does not coincide with the fact that, let's say he leaned against the table and put the knife up against his chest. Well, how did he get the second stab wound?
Right, right.
Okay, now she comes out of the bathroom, which I don't believe, okay, and she says she pulled the knife out. Did she pull the knife out the first time, or did she pull the knife out the second time?
Right, right.
See, this is what got me. There's two knife wounds. Okay, what does two indicate? Gemini.
Right, right.
Geminis do everything two by two by two by two. Okay? Let me just go back here a little bit. All right, because I want to take a look at some of the things that I came up with about her. All right. One, she lawyered up. She refused to talk. I said that, you know, there was two stab wounds. We know that. Apparently, it was through the clothing. Okay.
Yeah.
There is no hesitation marks. When somebody's going to commit suicide, they attempt it several times.
Right.
Most people have had a friend out there that may have said to them, I'm thinking of ways of killing myself, or I want to kill myself, or I want to blow my brains out. Or I had a friend that came up to my house and said, you're my best friend. I want to kill myself at your house. They attempt it. They try it. They warn you. They tell you. This does not fit with the pattern of somebody that's going to commit suicide.
Right, right.
Okay. Now there's no fingerprint on the knife. This makes no sense at all.
No, it doesn't. Right.
All right. Now, my other thing is, all right, she's, if you take a look at the picture, she's not quite as tall as he is. I think what should have been done, I don't know where the police enforcement was on this case because it seems like they overlooked a lot. She's a certain height, and if she picked up her hand and she was going to stab him, the knife would go in a particular area. Excuse me. Especially if she was left-handed or she was right-handed. And they should be able to, they should have been able to tell whether the knife went in upside down, straight in, sideways. I mean, think of it. If you're putting a knife against the table and you're leaning into it, it's going to have a specific wound.
Right.
I'm not a pathologist, but it's just logical that way. Okay?
Right.
Now, where the stab wounds were to the heart. That indicated somebody was hurting. Somebody was mad. Somebody was hurting.
No, it could have.
So whenever you take.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it could have been him hurting, though. I mean, we hear all this stuff about him being so depressed in his last day, supposedly. But you're saying more like she was, you know, she was angry. You know, this is like she's a jealous woman. And, you know, so Linda, let me ask you this, and I know you're not a pathologist, but when somebody stabs someone, I heard it's not very easy to stab someone. Is that true?
No, it's not. And you have to have the right knife. You have to know what you're doing. I do know people that were stabbed over the years that I've worked with. And usually, I mean, and okay, let's say somebody gets into an argument and they grab a pen. I've seen people get stabbed with pens. I've seen people get stabbed with toothbrushes, steak knives, a fork. I mean, they grab whatever they have in their hand, okay, unless it's planned, unless it's premeditated, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not liking the fact that she locked herself in the bathroom. When I take a look, the third chart of the day that I have is the chart of the day that this actually happened, okay, in October there, okay? And when I take all of the planets and I put them all together, I have 6 planets in the area of relationships. Somebody wanted to get married. Somebody wanted a permanent relationship. Someone was trying to take control. Someone was trying to be aggressive about how the relationship was going to go. This indicates to me, with that many planets in that area, they didn't just have an argument. This was a knockdown, drag-out argument.
Right.
And I don't believe for a second that she locked herself in the bathroom. I think that's just a convenient thing that she made up on the fly that gave her time to get out of the room.
Right, right. Well, I mean,
I'm not even sure that even happened.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I don't understand the whole nebulous affair of how they handled this. Because, like you said, 2 stab wounds and only 1 reported, and I'm not even sure how that goes. But I know this, that Jennifer Chiba recently, a couple of years ago, put a lawsuit against Elliot Finley because she felt that they lived as husband and wife and she should get a percentage of his income, which was over $1 million that year. So she...
And I think what you're hearing, and that's very true, and I think what you're hearing is some of the argument that was going on that night, that she wanted a marriage, that she wanted money, that she wanted security, that she wanted a contract, that she wanted some kind of security in this relationship, that she was going to come out ahead. I think... in that law, that's what you're hearing, some of the actual that went on that night.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So go on about the day. Go ahead.
And there is no death planet there.
Hmm.
Okay?
Right, right.
It was not supposed to be a death, all right? But what I see in the chart is that somebody was threatening to move in or move out. Now, was that her? Was that him? I don't know where they were living. I don't know about the house. Was that his house that she was living in?
I think that they got an apartment together, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, because what I see in the chart, and there's two planets there that indicate somebody was going on a trip, somebody was moving, things were changing, and, okay, you look for a catalyst or a trigger when something like this happens. I mean, what caused this volatile argument? What caused this to happen? All right, now, let's say she kind of had a whiff that there might have been another girl, and now they get into this argument, and she's trying to get security out of him, and maybe he's got another girl on the side. He doesn't really want to commit to her. So then they get into this thing, well, maybe we ought to split up. Maybe we ought to go this way or that way. Okay, so now she ain't going to have that. All right, I would tell you pretty much she was the aggressor. She was the leader. She wanted what she wanted. And she figured she had control over him. And, you know, it's sad to say that some of this might have been, okay, well, if you're sleeping with me, then I have control over you. You know, the pussy whip type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Totally, yeah.
And so with what I pick up here, I mean, it indicates to me that somebody was about to move. Somebody was changing. Somebody was going on the road. Was he about to go on tour again?
Linda, I'm not exactly sure. I know he had a bunch of stuff in the works, so it's possible.
Because that's what I pick up from the chart. It indicates to me that there was some big plans going on, and I'm not sure if she was in the plans or out of the plans, or she wanted to make sure she was in the plan. There was some kind of a contract coming down. She wanted to be a part of that contract.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm not so sure that he was the kind of person that was going to just cut anybody in on anything at any time. I get the impression that although he was who he was, it didn't seem like money dominated the scene for him.
No, it didn't, as far as I know.
So when I take a look at these two planets that were going off nearby about moving and going on the road, and I don't know whether she wanted him to buy her a car or she wanted some kind of different, maybe she wanted to move. Maybe she wanted to move to someplace upscale. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm picking up a move. I don't know if it was him, it was her, it was both of them. Because what I'm seeing here is that she has a hair trigger type of personality that goes or another.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take a look at the fact that, she becomes very argumentative, controlling, it gets over the top. And she's very aggressive about wanting to get her point across and wanting to win the conversation and the argument.
Right, right. So in his personality, astrologically speaking, you don't see that because, you know, we know, Linda, that he did try or he didn't try to commit suicide before, but he had talked about it many times. So you don't see him, even if he was going to kill himself, doing it that way, because that's just not him. It seems very aggressive, to do it like that if you're going to kill yourself.
Well, one, she put her hand on the knife and said she removed the knife. My question is, did she remove it the first time, the second time, or both times? And if she did that, why weren't her fingerprints on the knife? Because I'm thinking that she might have tried to, if this is, I mean, remember, this is my professional, personal opinion. Everybody's innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. He is now cremated, which was not a good thing.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many questions in the death, okay? He's young. The death is questionable. The way he committed suicide, if it was deemed suicide, is questionable. Right away, that opens up a lot of questions for this to flip over into undetermined death, which could then lead the way to more investigation, which I think they should have done. I think they should have done more background information about what was going on in their relationship, their power struggles, all of those things, because I can see it very clearly here that the two of them were kind of like, all right, she was an air sign, he was a fire sign. Air, if you blow on fire, it gets worse.
Right.
She could have been, fanning the flames to make him a better person, but then when he wasn't going to cooperate with marriage and a contract and cutting her in on a deal and giving her a paycheck, she might have said, hey, what am I in this for? What am I doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, of course, maybe he didn't see that coming.
Right, because he's at a weakened state in his life at that point anyways, having, quit the drugs and, drinking or whatever he quit, stopped eating red meat, blah, 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 blah. So he's kind of like, and this is like the Amy Winehouse case reminds me of this particular outcome, because she had stopped drinking and because she was such a big drinker, and then stopped drinking and started taking pharmaceutical drugs and in its place or, whatever. So, and then she dies from, we don't even know exactly how Amy died. But it,
right.
so then we get Elliot quitting all these things, and then suddenly he's going to kill himself. And, I mean, yes, I agree. I would say that he did take a lot of pharmaceutical drugs. You know, Jim mentioned four of them there off the top that were found in his system. I don't know if any of those would have lent him to be more suicidal or not. But so anyways, go on, Linda. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
All right. So if you take a person, all right, let's say Elliot now is he's cleaning up his act. He's getting off his drugs. He's eating better. Okay, when one partner changes, okay, and you can take a look at other relationships around you, when one partner starts zooming ahead, quits smoking, goes to school, becomes successive, and all of a sudden that's a threat to the other partner. In other words, she might have been able to control him better when he was under the influence of all this crap.
Right.
All right? But now he's getting clean. Now his head is getting straight. Now he's getting all of his ducks in a row. He's getting smarter. She don't like it.
Right, right, right.
But things are changing now. Worlds are colliding. It's not the way they were before. She can't control him like she did before. He's getting smarter. He's opening his eyes. And that's a threat to her.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And there's also a jealousy that he's famous and she's not.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not too sure about her story, her personal life. I don't know. I've heard, I've read numerous times that she was aggressive. She was controlling. And I'm sure she was also jealous, you know. So, you know, I'm not sure what her story is, but it really astounds me that she was never apparently, properly questioned.
No, she wasn't. And I don't believe she was polygraphed.
Oh, yeah, right, because we would have heard about that, you know.
And she refused to speak to the detectives, okay? And it is reported that she had a psychiatrist.
Okay, yeah.
Now, I told you she's a Gemini. She's mental.
Mm-hmm.
Very mental. She's a quick thinker. I'm going to say schemer. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm thinking she had this thing all straightened out. She had him where she wanted him, and then all of a sudden, he's miraculously getting off all of this crap, and she's losing control, doesn't know what to do. So, okay, falls back on the second plan. Now we start telling him what to do. Now we start threatening him. If we can't get what we want, okay, I'm not going to go to bed with you. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to cooperate. And maybe we ought to break up. Maybe she threatened him.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So, but it doesn't matter because, and the 9/11 call, did we ever hear that? Was that ever broadcast?
No, I don't believe so. I really don't believe so because I would have come across it in my research for this.
And I looked for it too and I couldn't find it. But I did find a lot of confusing issues, and that is that she lawyered up. She didn't want to talk to the detectives. The other thing is the lawsuit down the road, and I'm going to reiterate that I think that lawsuit has to do with the fact that she felt, you know, hey, I'm due this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe she got into a relationship with him and then said, okay, you owe me X amount of dollar, let's make a contract and this and that. And of course he wasn't going to go along with that.
Right. Right. Yeah, I know. We don't know exactly what the hell transpired in that argument. But it must have, like you said, it must have been a hell of an argument for someone to end up dead.
Well, here's the other thing. Did they talk to any of the neighbors? Did they talk to anybody else around the neighborhood, around the area that would have heard them arguing? Are there any reports of that? What about on the phone? What about text? Do we get a sense that she was controlling with texts or with telephones or anything like that? I mean, all of this could have been investigated and found out. I'm seeing it in the chart very clearly that there was a definite power struggle going on between them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And she's pretty much disappeared. I mean, I think the thing about the lawsuit, that was like the first that anyone had heard about what she was doing for a long time.
Well, this is why, I mean, anybody that is refusing to talk to the detectives, okay, I believe she's right-handed. That would mean that if you're going to stand in front of somebody, you're going to stab them with your right hand. There's going to be a particular wound. I think they should have tested that on her to see how that would have turned out in comparison with the wound. I don't know if there's an autopsy out there either, an actual autopsy report.
There is. I don't have it in front of me, but there is. They show the stab wounds and, I wish I had it in front of me. I don't.
She was also 2 years older than him, which might have given her a little bit of a superiority edge. I mean, age once in a while does that. I'm older than you. I'm going to tell you what to do type of thing. But clearly in his chart, and even that day that he was killed, excuse me, he is not in a death zone.
Mm-hmm.
But there is confusion. Trickery by a friend. According to this, there's two planets that day that indicate your friends are not your friends. It indicates secrets from the past, drugs and sea coming out from the past. I can tell you that there might have been a possibility she was pregnant. Which would have again complicated something.
Right, definitely.
So, I mean, what I'm feeling is that this should have been at least undetermined. It should have been investigated better. I think there should have been, way more investigation on the knife, on the wounds, on the height of the wounds, on the angle of the wounds. All right, so if this happened at the table, there would have been blood all over the table.
Right. Yeah.
They could have tested that. Do you remember that? Do you remember one girl that stabbed that guy while he was at the dinner table? It just happened in the last year. She was
no.
She got mad about something and walked up to him and just started stabbing him to death at the dinner table. This reminds me of this. You're talking about him doing this at a dinner table.
Right.
I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, by all accounts, like listening to his music, I mean, you know, and I know music doesn't always reflect the personality, but he took philosophy in college. He claimed not to be spiritual in any one direction, but he said he had his own thoughts. Obviously, he wrote Kali on his arm before he died. I'm not sure, but he seemed like he was basically more mellow and not like looking for, I don't know. To me, he doesn't seem like he was looking for trouble or someone to be like controlling, you know?
Well, it seems to me that he was cleaning up his act. He might have been getting ready to leave the relationship. This is angering her. Then he might have been seeing somebody else. And I'm really feeling there was somebody else in the picture, according to his chart. There was somebody else that he cared about, so he could never truly commit to her. I'm thinking that he looked at her more like a friend than actually in a relationship. But she wanted the relationship. But it's almost like she wanted the relationship because she controlled it, and that would pave her way. He was doing projects, and I'm not sure if he was then including her in the upcoming projects. So she was beginning to feel like she was being left behind. So all of this indicates to me that she was trying to make a contract with him, that she was trying to get a position in there with him. If it wasn't going to be wife or get engaged or, tag him with a pregnancy, then I want a contract. I want money. I deserve this. In other words, she was trying to finagle her way in there somehow.
Right, right. And
of course,
go ahead.
And when he started to clean up his act, it was kind of clear that she was probably going to be left in the dust, and this might have really pissed her off.
Right. So, I mean, if they were going to reopen the case, how could they without a body?
Oh, they can't, yeah.
They really, I mean, I don't know what they could do at this point, you know?
Well, they could re-examine the autopsy. They could go over, they could question her. I mean, it was never held in a court of law. The first thing they would have to do is change the autopsy from suicide to undetermined. I mean, to me, there's too many questions here that it should have been a suicide.
Right. I'm going to bring Jim on for a second because I want to clarify something with him.
Okay.
Jim, are you there?
I am.
Okay. Jim, what did you have any other questions? And I wanted to ask you, in the autopsy, and you have seen it, I believe, did it say that there were two stab wounds or anything about, you know, what fingerprints on the knife or anything?
It's been quite some time since I viewed it. I do believe that it was indicated as two stab wounds in the autopsy report. If you hold on 1 second, I can try and locate it. But this much I do remember was that there was definitely, in the opinion of the coroner, cause for an undetermined death. That I do remember. Now, again, I don't know exactly why. It raises ethical questions in my mind as to how precisely Jennifer was able to skirt the normal process, given so much doubt that would be associated under those circumstances, as she described them alone. There's a real big question that I think could be researched. I don't know whether or not Allison has researched it herself, but I have to wonder whether or not the lines of official communication may have been caught at opportune times for Jennifer. I don't know for sure, but that's the first thing that comes to my mind is she may have had one or more friends on the force in the district attorney's office. I don't know, you know, relationships that she might have had that would have ended up being fortuitous or advantageous to her.
Did you have any questions for Linda, Jim, about what she said so far?
The one thing I would say about Elliot is that I actually met him very briefly when I went to see him the one time in Providence, and he was very unassuming for the most part. It took a lot to rouse him, very, very laid back. I think a man of peace. He was more inclined, unfortunately, you know, the narrative follows in that he would be more inclined under extreme stress, as I understand it, to harm himself rather than to harm somebody else. But he had been in his share of fights. I don't know whether he provoked him or someone else provoked him as a result of him being under various influences. So I'm not sure necessarily that I can see him being completely incapable of harming himself under the circumstances, but I also can understand what she's saying. It seems to me that the power dynamic was not healthy because he was vulnerable, and when he ceased being as vulnerable, all of a sudden her value, her role in the relationship would have been changed to such an extent that she kind of her orientation would have been thrown sufficiently if she was a borderline personality. And that's what it strikes me as being the case of. She gained a lot of her power from having the control, just as Linda has said, and that would make her dangerous.
And wouldn't you think that at that point they would have gone back and asked about her previous relationships with other people? How did those relationships turn out? And why did she need a psychiatrist?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not sure, you know, what her previous relationships were like. I mean, Elliot had many relationships. I mean, he's written songs about, oh God, tons of girls, you know. So that there might have been another one in the picture when he died, yes, absolutely. You know, I'm sure that somebody, you know, must have been in the offing there, you know what I mean? But I'm not sure, you know.
And if she was living with him, being the kind of person that she was, let's say closer to a Jodi Arias, this is what I'm picking up. You know, she's going along with the deal. She wants to be included in this. He makes a change in who he's going to be as far as the drugs and the alcohol, too. improve his credibility, improve his image to the public and in his projects and music, and then all of a sudden she's left in the dust. Now what do I do? So she's either got to get in a relationship with him, get married, get pregnant, start threatening him. She's got to do something else to set the tone that she's going to still tell him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I would also add that it seems to me like it's almost, and you alluded to this, I believe, Linda, she's very crass by nature. As someone with a primarily mental reference point, she's going to be a lot more calculating. Her emotions, I don't know if she reaches the level of a sociopath, but to me it comes down strictly, the possibility exists, it strictly comes down to a diminished return on investment. It's a horrible thought to have that somebody could be that ruthless, you know, have that level of depraved indifference, but it's not out of the question either.
No, and this is why you're seeing the lawsuit, because she feels entitled to that. Now, she feels she's over the gap of talked her way out of, and you know, I hate to say this, that people that lie and make up stories and scheme, they get away with it so much they continue doing it. Now, she feels she's out of the hot water, so she goes after the lawsuit, which says exactly what I'm saying. I think they had a hell of an argument. That lawsuit points out that she wanted a part of the money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second, if I might. I would also say the possibility exists that she felt very much like she had been wronged in perception by Elliot's fans as having possibly committed this. She feels like her reputation, her life has been compromised or even ruined, why she hasn't shown up in so many years, because she just, you know, she was disgraced as a result of that perception. Now she's going to take something to recover, something that will allow her to have perhaps a normal life. Not to say necessarily that she was involved with the actual act, that she could have driven Elliot to the point where he just was so horrified at the reaction that he did do something. It would be out of character to an extent, but not completely out of character as I see it. He felt things very profoundly. That's the one thing I would say. When you said physical, he also was extremely passionate in terms, and it comes out in the music. So if he was that affected and also possibly under the influence of the after effects, the withdrawal symptoms of the whatever he was that he was taking, it's possible. I don't think it's probable, but I think it's possible. I'm hedging a little bit when I say that, and I don't want to take over too much, but that's just my perception based on some of the things you've had to say and, you know, reconsidering after all this time.
Mm.
Well, I would want to take a look at the kitchen table. Where did he normally sit? Where did she normally sit? What was on the kitchen table when this whole thing happened? She conveniently says she's in the bathroom. Here's the screen. But she manages to pull the knife out. She's close enough to pull the knife out. So, I mean, I don't know. What did she do? Fly over to the table? How far was the table away from the bathroom? See, these are all things that should have been investigated.
Yeah, right. Indeed. Yeah, it was like, it amazes me that in these cases, such as Kurt's case as well, which I thought was handled horribly, but this one seems even to top that, you know? So I don't know, you know?
Now, Jim, you said that the coroner had actually made it undetermined.
I had the impression that if it wasn't formally undetermined, he kind of set off the record that he could not say conclusively that it was suicide. I've got to reinvestigate that, but I knew that I was kind of like a, what? Wait a minute sort of moment when I read it.
But this is what it says on Wikipedia, Linda. It says, with Smith's death not officially declared a suicide. So
We are going in the right direction because the coroner said undetermined. So he, too, has a thought. He, too, has a thought that this doesn't look – I mean, people don't normally stab themselves. Okay? That's not the way to go. That's not the way to do it.
Right.
It's too messy.
Yeah.
Okay? So being undetermined is the first step in reopening the investigation to then – I don't care if she lawyered up. She should be taking a polygraph. Now, do they have pictures of the crime scene? Do they have drawings of the crime scene? They don't have the body anymore, but they still have the autopsy with the description of the wounds, where they were on the body, his height. I mean, somebody should do a reenactment of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this all may be available. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Linda. I was going to say.
No, that's fine.
What I was going to say is that some of these forensics may have been done, but for whatever reason, the record of those having been done may be sealed. Why is an interesting question. I don't know, again, what Allison's results were investigating with the Los Angeles Police Department, but I would suspect that would be something that would kind of indicate the course of events in terms of how they conducted the investigation. You know, answer maybe a few questions as to where exactly things might have gone astray as compared to a normal investigatory process.
Well, here's the deal. She was in the bathroom. What was she doing in the bathroom? Was she brushing her teeth? Was she taking a shower? Was she in the bathtub? What was she doing? I mean, you know, here we go with the timeline. You have to kind of put this all into perspective as to how it happened so that you can see whether there's a ring of truth. I'm not picking up a ring of truth.
Mm. Right. It's incredible. But like you said, I mean, if moving forward, if they wanted to reopen, there is a movement to reopen the case. There's a petition out there Facebook page, Justice for Elliot Smith. You can go and sign the petition through a link on that page. And like you're saying, if they did open it, what would they have to work with? Well, they got the autopsy. They still got her. She's alive. Whatever you're going to get out of her. I mean, if it was just the two of them there. But also, there's a bunch of other witnesses that probably haven't stepped forward and said anything, you know?
Well, like I'm saying, about her previous relationships, what was she like in previous relationships? I think that would be important. What did she have a psychiatrist for? What was she on?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And who knows? I mean, she could have still been doing drugs herself, you know?
I mean, look at if anybody saw the movie Gone Girl, okay? When you take a look at how many boyfriends that girl actually had in the movie, they all had experienced horrible things by that woman.
Right.
And they had their own stories to tell. Same thing as Jodi Arrow.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why it's like, you know, I know I've had a lot of time to research things about this show, but I haven't really done my due diligence with researching her and the people that have, you know, said things about her. So I'm not sure, you know.
Well, I thought I saw that there was somebody was arrested. I don't know who was arrested. Somebody was arrested, and I'm not quite sure who was arrested. If that was her, in my notes I wrote things down, but I don't get that. If she heard him scream and came out of the bathroom and pulled the knife out, okay, why weren't there fingerprints on the knife?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good question,
right.
And I think that's certainly something that could be disclosed without any consequences, legal or otherwise, just because it would be something that would absolve her. You know, it would provide a context for any of her fingerprints on the knife. If she said that, then at that point there's a corroboration that makes complete it's logical sense in the course of events that would have occurred,
well,
you know, afterwards.
Something is not the truth. If there was no fingerprints on the knife, she said she pulled the knife out, which is true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If she's saying she pulled the knife out the first time, the second time, you have her pulling the knife out of this guy's body. Don't tell me that she's not a suspect.
Yeah, no kidding. That's why she must have some connection with the legal authorities there.
Sorry, I was going to say, the other thing that I've noticed, Autumn DeWilde's book, I believe, makes reference to this.
the impression I get is that certain people that knew Elliot kind of ended up protecting Jennifer to an extent, not legally per se, but in terms of her reputation. I'm remembering this because it's been a while since I read the book, but I do think there was a certain amount of a hands-off attitude where Jennifer was concerned because they felt it was going to create further trauma for her in the wake of a horrific loss. That was, and how much that's a cover story is a good question. So, again, it's the failure of due diligence in terms of the investigation is what concerns me the most here, as it sounds like it concerns you as well, Linda, because it just, I don't know how you cannot be asking these questions. When a layman is asking this these questions, then definitely somebody who is employed by the city of Los Angeles to reach a conclusion, you know, towards justice, that this just completely seems so broken. It's not inconceivable because it happens all too often, but it's still kind of improbable, as I said before, that this it would just come down to something this basic. The questions that you are asking are just simple common sense when you're talking about the investigatory process.
No kidding, right. I want to remind you guys, we are talking about the strange death of Elliot Smith, who supposedly committed suicide by a knife and a partition and a table, leaning forward, killing himself that way. Lots of speculation concerning the death. And we are joined by Linda Crystal, who is a forensic astrologer, and also James Moses, who is adding his comments here. We're going to take a little quick break and listen to one of Elliot's songs. And when we come back, we'll get more of Linda's insight about what might have happened and what can we actually do about it. So we'll be back after this. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you.
that was Elliot Smith with Angelus, another great song. All his songs are great. What a fantastic songwriter he was. And we are joined by Linda Crystal, who is talking about the different aspects of the day Elliot was killed. Or, I'm sorry, I've already convicted Jennifer Chiba. The day that he committed suicide or died. We don't know exactly what happened. But anyways, Linda, tell us, what did the planets and everything look like on the day he did die?
Well, the day was October 21st, 2003. The sun was in Libra. Libra is all about legalities, contracts, music, media, relationships, marriage, okay,
mm-hmm.
contracts, getting along. It's all about music and relationships and contracts. So that whole month was about that time, okay? And when you take a look at where the moon was in Leo. Jupiter was in Virgo. He was about to, I'm not sure what the project was. I'm feeling there was a tour. I'm feeling there was a big project. I'm feeling that he was going to spend a lot of time doing this project. And maybe he laid a surprise on her. Maybe he told her something that she wasn't really ready to hear, ready to accept. It's almost like something was in the wind that day. Saturn was in Cancer, which indicated somehow they felt that they were, somebody was restricted in that house about what they could do, where they go. I'm not sure who put that restriction there. But there's some restriction there in that house. Okay?
Yeah.
It's almost like they felt they couldn't get out of it, or there wasn't going to be any changes, or was that a framework that was being put down by somebody?
Right, right. That's very
interesting. So now you have, and now you have Uranus in Aquarius retrograde. You have a couple of planets here that are retrograde in the area of friends. So what I'm thinking is he might have started separating himself. All right, when anybody goes to addiction counseling, and I've got a psych degree, the first thing they show you is that you have to leave all your friends. You have to change your world. You can't have the same contact because they're all drug buddies. They're all people that are doing drugs, and what's going to happen is you're not going to stay clean very long if you're going out with those people. So they tell you, get a new group of friends.
Right.
All right. So I'm thinking that maybe she might have been, you know, questioning him about, you know, well, what are you going to do and what are they telling you and all this other stuff. And maybe she was just accumulating this information, but I know what they tell people that are addicted. And they tell them, look, it's a one-way path. You're going to end up dead. You have to do this or you're going to end up dead. So maybe he was telling her, look, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do that. Excuse me, and that is all looking threatening to her.
Right, right. Well, especially if she's the control freak that we see her as or believe her to be.
Yeah, I really believe that there is a lot of stuff going on her chart that indicates to me, Saturn in Aries indicates to me that she wants to be the head of the household, the head honcho. She wants to be the leader. She can be very aggressive. She wants to take control and tell everybody what to do. And she's extremely argumentative. And she's extremely bright.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But she has this personality that can turn on you in an instant if things don't go her way.
Right, right. Does this case seem similar to the Kurt Cobain case in any way to you?
It does in the fact that it's very mysterious. It does in the fact because you have so many things at play going on. You're dealing with musicians. You're dealing with people. They're very much into their heads. They're very much into what they're doing. And very often they will spaz out. Part of the reason for the drugs is It makes them write better. It makes them think better. It gives them ideas. It takes them out of the square mold. And, you know, I mean, you're going to hear a lot of artists say that it takes you to another place and you can be extremely creative.
Right.
So, but I just think that I think if they were to question some people that she went with in the past, that some of this would come out.
Right. I know.
And when you take her birthday and you add it up, that comes to one, Guns and Knives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He actually comes to a 3, which is actually her number, or Gemini, which is why he might have been attracted to her too. But she's actually a 1. This is a power number. She wants control again. I see so many things in her chart that indicate to me she's going to tell you what to do. She's going to take over. She's pretty pushy. And here comes the Guns and the Knives. I couldn't see the same level in Kurt Cobain.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt more that his was a suicide.
Yeah. See, I feel even more certain that he did not commit suicide than I do that Elliot did not commit suicide. But, I mean, we've talked about that. I am convinced that he did not kill himself. I really am, you know?
Well, it's just such a sad thing that all these people are dying so young. They're at the top of their game. They're famous. They got all this money. It just goes to show you that, you know, the money and the fame is not all that it's cracked up to be.
No, definitely not.
It comes with a lot of different responsibilities. And what happens is you don't really know who your true friends are.
Right, right.
You think they're your friends, but actually they're hanging on because of the money and the power and the fame.
Yes, definitely. I wonder if the area, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Linda. I wonder if the area that they lived in, him and Jennifer, also had, you know, because there's so many strange spots in Los Angeles, man, you know. It's like where their house or apartment stood. I wonder if there's anything with that. Like I said, there's so much I haven't looked into, you know.
Well, also to actually get in that apartment, take a look at it. And here's the other thing. I mean, even if you couldn't reconstruct, like, a true investigation again, maybe you could do, a spiritual investigation. Go in there, see if there's an EVP. Go in there, see if you're picking up anything. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know.
A spiritual investigation.
I know. I wonder if anyone has ever done that, like tried to do, you know, something like that in the apartment. Somebody has.
Well, I think it should be done. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it should be done, like in the Susan Powell case. I think it should be done in this case, the Kurt Cobain case. I mean, I think it should be done in a lot of cases because I think they can pick. I do believe if that's where he lived and that's where he died, he may be there. I keep picking up though that he's very concerned about his mother. Is his mother still alive?
I believe she is. And he also started a fund for children. I know that while he was alive, and that I can't remember the name of the fund, but it's to help children who are, you know, abused. So that also speaks to his character right there, you know.
Well, I can see in his chart that there was definitely some kind of a problem with his father, a breakup, and whether he was abused or his father left or something happened, there was definitely a problem there. And also a spirituality problem. But it seems that he has 1, 2, 3, he has 4 planets in the home and family area that indicate to me that his home and family and his childhood actually meant a lot to him, except that something went wrong.
Well, the father left the family.
Okay, so that verifies that.
Yeah, and then she, you know, his mother got a new husband, and he didn't get along with the husband. He claimed that the stepfather sexually abused him, something that was never, you know, verified by, you know, of course, the stepfather denied it, and I don't know what actually happened.
Well, I'm going to say that people don't lie about that because that's a pretty bold statement to make. It's embarrassing to make, and people don't make up stories about that. So if he's saying that happened, then you kind of have to trust the situation. And here's the deal. You hear about this all the time, that a stepfather comes into the house, and, you know, the mother's going to side with the stepfather, not going to side with the child.
Right, right.
And this is also very, very hurtful to the child.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if this truly did happen, you know, he had a lot of hurt going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. And Jennifer even said, she said that he, you know, the reason he's taking drugs is because he was trying to forget about all the trauma that happened to him when he was little and so on and so forth. And so I don't know exactly what happened. I know I had a friend. She has since passed away. Her name was Melissa. She went to college with Elliot, and she said that he was just very quiet. He would go and work in the room where, you know, they did the videos, and he kept to himself, and, you know, he breezed through the college. I guess he was pretty smart. But, yeah, so I don't know. So I'm not sure where the mother's at right now and what's going on. And I don't even know if she's still with the stepfather, so.
Well, I mean, the theory is this. They were at the table, they were eating, they were beginning to argue, something went on, and maybe somebody picked up a knife. And, okay, what is the reaction when somebody stabs you? You're sitting down at the table. You may want to stand up because you're like, oh, my God, what happened to me? And then fall on the knife on the table.
Oh,
see how
yeah.
that could have gone down?
Right, right. Yeah, of course, because if you're sitting down and someone stabs you, you're gonna get up and try to be like, what, you know.
You're gonna bolt up. And then, okay, so this is what I'm saying. We don't have the whole story. I don't believe the whole story is there at all. And if she did stab him and he went to stand up, like, oh, my God, you stabbed me, and then, of course, it was pretty deep, or she did it twice or whatever else, of course he's going to fall right down on that table, which out comes the story that he actually put it on the table. Well, all right, for his height and size, sitting in that chair, somebody should have demonstrated that, putting the knife on the edge of the table, because to me that doesn't fly. Tables are usually rounded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about this. Put a knife on the edge of something. It doesn't sit there.
Right. Right.
I don't care if you got your chest up to it or not. It falls down.
Right. Right.
All right. So what I'm saying is that they were probably eating. Something came out. They started to argue. It was a bigger argument. And then people are getting rattled, and then what goes on is boom, boom, oh, my God, you stabbed me, fall on the table.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, that seems way more likely.
And, okay, the reaction is she still was so mad that she had the knife in her hand.
Yeah.
And so the knife would come back out.
Mm-hmm.
But now we may have a tablecloth, we may have napkins, we may have clothes, we wipe off the knife, which why it doesn't have fingerprints.
Right, right.
And that scenario makes more sense than, oh, I was in the bathroom and I heard a scream. Did anybody else hear the scream?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, see, this is... You know what I'm saying? I mean,
mm-hmm.
How about an investigation to hear if anybody else saw the scream or heard the scream so that we can verify there was or there wasn't a scream?
Mm-hmm. I know. All this stuff is so nebulous. I mean, no answers to any of that stuff as far as I can see.
Then she lawyers up. Then she doesn't want to talk to the detectives. And I think the coroner is right by making it undetermined, forcing then the police's hand that they've got to do their investigation.
Mm-hmm. Which they didn't do.
Well, it's not uncommon. You know, you heard Jim say this. How many cases have we heard? I don't know. They go goo goo gaga when it turns out to be somebody famous. Another thing goes into play. It's almost like this mental cover-up goes into play. They don't want to tell the public anything because this is a public image. I mean, it's almost like things go haywire with famous people.
Right.
But, I mean, that scenario is you're sitting at the table and you're arguing and you're getting mad and then somebody stabs you. And, I mean, I know I could feel it myself. I would stand up and go, oh, my God, you effing B, you stabbed me, you know. I mean, and then fall down on the kitchen table.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, how we don't. I mean, what were his last words? She's saying it's a scream, and she came out and pulled the knife out.
Now,
that's what we heard.
Right. Now, does it seem likely, knowing her character and looking at her chart, that one day she would confess to this?
No.
No. Okay.
She's very much in control. She's very bright. She's constantly scheming. She's thinking her way out of it. I think when she went away, she distanced herself.
Mm-hmm.
It took her a while to regain her strength and think about the whole thing and say, oh, well, you're not guilty. Nobody's doing anything. We got to go after some money here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Jesus.
Which I think was part of the reason why they were arguing.
Yeah, that seems to be in the chart.
She wanted to be somehow in his life, either as a partner, a marriage, an engaged a partnership, a manager, something. She wanted to be in there. She wanted her cut of the money.
Mm-hmm. Still does.
Yeah, and I really don't see in her chart like emotions. I see argumentative stuff. I see she wants to get her point across. She's got a big head. She wants to be the leader. She wants to take control. Yes, she can think, and she can think on the run. And she did. She did it.
Yeah, yeah. So we possibly might never know.
Unless they start doing a recreation. Set up an apartment like his apartment. Rent his apartment. Set up a scenario. Film it. Do exactly everything from the documents, the police reports, everything that was said. Do you remember when on CNN they had the Jody Arias trial and they kept reenacting Travis Alexander's death and how it could have happened, how it could have come down?
Yeah.
I mean, that is the best scenario right there because you can see what works and what doesn't work. Cold case, Cold Justice does it.
Right.
They reenact in their shows, and you can see what works and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's a really good idea. And like I said, I don't know where things are at in terms of, you know, if they've gotten enough signatures to reopen the case or if they would even reopen it or who's stopping it, if not, you know. So I am not sure, but... I want to thank you again, Linda, for joining us tonight. And do you know, Linda has her own show on BTR. It's called Linda Crystal, and it's on Wednesday nights at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. Is that right, Linda?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
And it's, believe me, you guys, you've heard a little bit of her tonight, and you've probably heard her before. Linda, knowledgeable and compelling. I just love listening to your cases. I mean, I really think the world of you. You're just, you know, it's amazing what you come up with, the stuff you come up with. So I'm just thrilled every time you join me here to investigate these different things, you know. Unfortunately,
well, thank you.
I'm always having you investigate dead rock stars because that's my favorite subject.
Well, it also pushes me to the max because these are not the people that I would normally do. When people ask me to do a case, it's the case that maybe I've never worked on before or the kind of case that I've worked on, and it pushes me a little further as well. And remember, I mean, all these things that I'm talking about are actually in an astrology chart, you know, between the three charts, the chart of the day that Elliot was killed, or I'm sorry, committed suicide. We have to clarify that, you know, because, I mean, the reenactment, I think, even if they made a movie, if somebody did a reenactment and made a movie, I mean, at least at that point, you can kind of see what is real, what isn't real, how did this really come down? I mean, if she's in the bathroom and the door is locked, like she says, what if she's got the bath water running? How did she hear the scream?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if she was even taking a shower, how did she hear it?
Well, this is what I'm saying. And did she have music on in there? Because very often when I go in there, I'm blasting the music and singing along to the music. All right, so, you know, sing in the shower type of shit. But the thing is that we don't know if any of this was true because it's not tested.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't know if this is what happened. What's in the report? Where actually was she with the locked door? How far away from the bathroom was the bathroom from the kitchen table where he supposedly did this?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, there's so many questions. It's just really, it's amazing. Once again, you guys check out lyndacrystal.com. She's got a bunch of books on there, all very interesting cases of missing people. Her weekly shows bring up all, you know, all the missing people, murdered people, and what state the various cases are in. Linda updates us all the time. She also gives astrology readings on her show, which are phenomenal. Last time you gave an astrology reading for my sign, which is Aquarius, everything you said came out was happening in my life at that time. Every single thing you said. It's just amazing. So check her out, you guys, lyndacrystal.com. I want to thank Jim also for coming on and helping us interview Linda and giving us a little bit of background on Elliot. And I also want to thank everyone in the chat room. That is Chris, who's helping me with this show, Chris at Curious Times. And I'm actually going to be on Curious Times tonight with Amy Kavanaugh, giving readings, and I've been practicing giving readings, and so we'll see how that goes, but I'm honored that Amy wanted me to join her. Also, Donna DiPietro, thank you, Donna, sweetheart. Linda Crystal, who's my guest, Medium Renee Richards, I love them, love you, love you, love you. Raven, I love you too, Marguerite, so pretty too. Kathleen Moore, another beauty, another freaking huge talent in the medium psychic world. Spiritually Happy, which is Marie, strong and beautiful Marie. Trickster Wolf, Jackie, one of my best friends. I love you, Jackie. Truth Nova, which is Eric. I love Eric, too. Sorry, I got to say I love you all. And Angie, little Angie, I love you. And Karen, who's also a very, very good friend. So thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight, and I will see you over at Intua Talks at 10 p.m. Eastern for Chris's show with me and Amy Kavanaugh. And I'm going to leave you with this Elliot Smith song, and once again, thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you, Corrine.
You're welcome. Okay, here's Elliot with Ugly Before, and we'll see you guys soon.
somehow.